Hey, Seb, how's it going?
Hey, Mallory, not too bad. How are you holding up?
Doing all right. It feels like there's a lot of tying up loose ends and stuff right now, and or trying to anyway.
Hey, you excited about the holiday?
My family is we did Kyle's family's Thanksgiving slash Christmas last week, and so this Thursday, I think Kyle and I are just gonna have like a dinner, just the two of us, which I'm kind of excited about, and then we're going up Saturday to see my family, so it'll be pretty low key, I think.
Oh, that does sound very lucky.
What about you guys? Anything fun?
We're gonna go out to the seacoast to have a relatively compact dinner with my father-in-law and sister-in-law, and sometimes her youngest joins us as well. It's fairly chill. Like nobody seems to have an appetite for a gigantic family thing in this group. But it's nice. I didn't really understand Thanksgiving as other than an opportunity to eat turkey when I first came to the States. But now that I've been doing it for a few years, it is starting to get a little bit of a nice sort of, family tradition type feeling to it that I enjoy.
Yeah, I usually think it's like one of the better holidays because there's, I don't know, it's all just food and people oriented. I like that.
Yep.
Kurt, Ian, Jason, you guys do anything? Well, Jason, I don't know. You already had your Thanksgiving, I assume.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But anything fun?
Just got together with some friends. It was fun.
You
My
got
sister's
a
coming from Philly.
oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, just we're having it with family. My sister's coming in from Philly and my parents, I think. So, yeah.
Yeah, we've got some family friends visiting, and they're even a larger family than we are, so there's eight of them. So the house is just jam-packed right now, and
Oh, my God.
they drove in
Dude.
from Boston. Yeah, they drove in from Boston, and because like they used to live in our neighborhood, so like the kids grew up with them, and they were like really close with everybody. And then they had to move because he's with the military, so we try to see them a couple times a year. So they drove in for Thanksgiving week, so they'll be here through the 30th, and the house is just stuffed to the gills. So I'm actually working under the library today because there's just nowhere for me to work in the house. But it's an experience.
Well, that's pretty fun. That wasn't require quite the vehicle to drive a family that large up or down from Boston.
They have a Suburban, right? And two of them are like twin toddlers, so they kind of fit into smaller spaces, but still, it's a lot of people.
Yeah. Very cool.
Hey, Jakob, we're just discussing Thanksgiving.
Oh yeah. Holidays.
Indeed.
Nothing else. Just completely absent from here, other than, Black Friday.
I'm surprised that Big Turkey hasn't attempted to
Yeah,
make it
right.
a part of Danish culture.
Oh, actually, you know what? I just remembered that on Saturday we're going to some friends. We're visiting friends who moved here from the U.S. and we're gonna be doing some turkey and some
There you go.
stuff. There you go.
Turkey is an unlikely, the way that we cook it is kind of an unlikely hit. They always, they're huge, so they always get kind of dry if you roast them all in one piece and everything. Yeah.
You have to appreciate bone dry poultry. You put enough
So, y'all
gravy in there, though, and it makes up for a lot.
need to check out I think I don't know how to say his last name, Adam Ragusea or whatever. He's got a YouTube channel, and he has a method of cooking turkey that has worked pretty well for me the last few years. But basically what he does is he puts it in the pan and then he simmers it on the stovetop, so that the dark meat starts cooking before the breast gets exposed to heat. So you'll get the dark meat up to about, I don't know, I don't know, like 130 degrees or so before you even put it in the oven. And what that does is that keeps the breast from, then that by the time the breast is at edible temperature, like 160, your dark meat is going to be more like 190, 200. So it's like the kind of nice falling apart thing, but the breast is not over dry. So that is just, you have to kind of hack it because the bird wants to cook at different temperatures. But then it also fills the pan up with like really good drippings that you can make in a gravy. So I'll post the link on the Slack. So if you're doing a bird, it's actually worked really, really well for me. So.
Oh, cool.
Nice. Turkey hacks. All right, guys, should we do a sync? I think for s you guys are off starting from tomorrow, right?
Thursday and Friday. Or I don't, other people might be off earlier.
What
I don't know.
is it's Tuesday? No, it's Jason. Jason's out starting from tomorrow. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, makes sense. All right, good. Let's do a status update and then we can take a look at the unassigned stuff. Unless you have anything, Mallory, anything else that you want to talk about?
We can start with this. I just want to talk briefly about some flow wish list development items. And I think that's it. I have a few support tickets open with Ian and such, but I don't think we need to discuss them as a group, so.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Oh yeah, I have a ticket here. What is this? Oh yeah. That was one of those tickets with this priority. I don't know if was there any more.
Oh,
Yes, do you want this one?
yeah, sorry. I told them like that we switched it and that it doesn't really wouldn't really make sense to do both priorities. You said that would like essentially make the load balancing useless. So they approved it with just taking in the requester priority. So this can just be closed. I'm sorry I didn't do that.
Yeah. I mean, it's just to be clear, we can do it, right? But it's just gonna be so granular if we do it. We're probably just going to completely kill load balancing.
I didn't like I think we've done enough with playing around with that, and they seem to like be okay with it, so I don't think we need to reopen it.
Okay. All right, so I'll just close it as done, and I'll say here that we've decided to it's okay. Thank you. Moving on. So this is in code review. And maybe actually this has been merged already, reviewed this and I approved this. I'm just gonna check. Yes, this has been done. So I'll just close it for Adam. Okay. David, ensure upgrade data ingest cannot be closed yet. Okay, I guess he wants this to stay open and do a little bit of more work. I think that's fine. It's usually it's kind of annoying to have those never-ending tickets, right? I mean, so we don't see any progress. Things just kind of feel stalled. So I prefer that we close it and then create a smaller ticket for the remaining work. But I think this is nothing critical, so we can just let him run with this. Yeah, what about this one? Okay, so I think my understanding is that David has done this. This was about getting some of the changes you guys did for SLMP, getting that deployed. How about I push it to end review? And maybe we should, because we don't really have the flow very well understood, Mallory. I think maybe there's still some conversations with the support people, right? Especially with Kara about how this should, the flow should, the Jira flow should look like. So maybe just let her know.
Okay.
I don't know if she needs to do some stuff because we have a couple, we'll get to it, right? But this was kind of a blocker for some of the dev tickets. Okay. Hold on. I'm just going to close it over here. Sorry, guys. Okay. Ian, broker updates on Trove Prods.
Yeah. Can we do it?
There was a thread. I think you said, Mallory, to wait. I felt like we should just go ahead and do it, but I'll let you decide.
Yeah, that was just I think that they were thinking of them as a package and that they wanted to see the supplier symbol for all general messages. But if it's just as easy to put the changes that already exist in and then do another one when that 188 is done, that's fine with me. But I just didn't know if it made sense for Ian to do it twice or.
No, it's fine. I can do it twice.
All right, so let's do a little bit of cleanup here because I see that this is maybe. So there was one more issue. There was the soup 52815 with this duplicate NSCOK supplier.
Yeah,
You
and
remember, Mallory?
I thought you put a change in for that. I apologize.
Yeah, yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, so this one is in review. I don't know. Do you even have a way to review this?
I think I can do it in Trove test. I think I have a holding that has I think that I could reproduce that NSCO one. So I can try to check it there if it's ready.
Okay, I'll tag you just so you get an email about
Thank you.
this. Would you please leave you this? I will update Trove text. Update Trove test after this call. And I'll label this with this Trove October update label so that it gets also into that update that Ian's working on. So it will be actually seven issues.
I should verify the one that you just added before Ian does Trove prod, and he'll do that, and then we'll do it again. We'll update Trove prod broker once Giannis finishes 188. Is that right?
Yeah, because we merge everything to master, so like like it's a linear thing, right? So it's gonna be there no matter what. So better that you review it and we announce it to them because one,
Okay.
he always updates to the latest, right? Or whatever is the version of on Trove test, so it will be already included because this has been already fixed some days ago.
Okay. All right, Ian, I will
Guys.
review
I'm
that
sorry.
and
I just need to pick up. Somebody's really trying to get hold of me. So I'll just pick up the phone. I'll be right back, okay?
Yep. Ian, I'll do that last little bit of review there and then we can push the prod update today, hopefully, and then we'll just do another one when the other
Okay.
piece is done.
Yeah, just let me know when you're happy with it and I'll deploy it.
Okay. I see that you also have the decommissioning inactive Trove tenants in your queue.
Yep, that was just
Did that.
scheduled for after December 1, I guess.
Okay. When I met with
Yes.
Trove
We'll
last
call you back
week.
in 20 minutes, okay? Thank you so much. Okay, bye.
When I talked to Trove last week, they were almost done with clearing out those tenants. So I'm hoping that we'll have a complete list of tenants to close after that. So I don't think it's quite ready, but I think we're getting closer.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I wasn't gonna look at it until after the first, because that's the
Okay.
deposit and the ticket. But yeah.
Cool.
Okay, I'm sorry, guys. I'm back. Did we move on?
Yeah, I think unless Ian has anything he wants to discuss, I think we're think we talked about everything on his queue.
Okay. So just so we're clear about the plan, right? So I'll update Trove tests again. Then we have like seven things pending for Trove. Plus 188 because you want it to be part of this.
But
Then let's just wait then.
we're not gonna wait for 188 though, right? Before pushing to prod.
Well, that's what I'm trying to establish. So, like, do you want to wait for it, or do you want to go ahead and push what we have? You still need to review the 181, right? 187. Anyway, so I mean, this one, the state of the 188 is that it's in pull request, but I wanted three things to be changed. So he still needs to change some stuff. So I don't think it's gonna be done today. Probably tomorrow.
I guess if it's gonna be done tomorrow, then just wait and have them review it, and we'll just do it all at once.
Okay, I think that's fine. So, Ian, I added this issue, right? You can always click this link here on the sticker to see the status. So now we have eight tickets. One is in review, one is in progress. So when they are done, you can just go ahead and do it.
Okay.
Okay, and then I don't think we need to talk about this. That's some cleanup we need to do, but I think we've already discussed this. Okay.
I use
Jason, any
SackMarker.
up? What was that?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I did the pagination, the front end and the back end. And that brought up an interesting issue about OAPI cogen and strict mode, where I can't actually get the request object. And so I didn't do the links to the previous and next page like we did in the broker.
What issue was that again?
The pagination?
No, you mentioned something that you had some issues, some problem. What was it?
Yeah, so the OAPI cogen in strict mode doesn't pass the like HTTP request object to the request handler. And so I can't access the full URL, the query parameter, that kind of thing to populate the links to the previous and next.
Well, that
And
sucks.
so if you want to keep using strict mode, which does have some other nice features, we'd probably have to stash that stuff in the context. And wasn't quite sure if we wanted to do that, so I just didn't put links for the moment.
I think that's fine. You can create a separate ticket for this.
So we'll sort that out later. I just figured that would be an interesting thing, little caveat with OAPI cogen there to mention for people to kind of think about a bit, because yeah, I'm not quite sure how I feel about putting that all in the context, but it could be probably the easiest way around it if we still want to.
keep access to that
Yeah,
stuff.
we need to have access to that stuff, right? So it's not just doesn't matter that it's that we put this the this those hyperlinks on hold for now. I just can't imagine that we would have any sensible a bit more sophisticated API without getting access to that request object. I mean, that would be that's just not gonna fly.
Is
So
that
I think it's
something that'd be good for me to work on while you're gone? I mean, I could pick that up if you want, if that's
Yeah, I think that could work for you just to get a bit more into the zone with with Go.
And Kurt's
yeah.
already an
I mean,
expert
I've been
on
working on
the
Go for,
contacts and middleware.
please don't call me expert or anything on Go, but yeah, I mean, I guess I've done enough to be dangerous with it. So, yeah, I mean, if we need to make a new context key to store that request object, that'd be something, yeah, I'd be happy to start looking into. And also that would give me more hands-on experience working with the UI in conjunction with the directory.
Yeah, and you can also check like what are the conventions to do that, right?
I don't know if those links are actually going to be terribly helpful to the UI, but
It doesn't matter. I mean, that's not the problem, Jason. Like, if we need
Yeah,
to
I
be
know.
able to access the request object, like links are a totally separate discussion, right? So,
Understood.
yeah.
Yeah,
And I think,
it was
I
pretty
guess,
hard,
I
man.
assume that the reason that they did that is they thought, well, if the handler is going to need access to it, it should declare that in the spec. And then it can be mapped into the parameter that way. But that's.
How the spec is a contract between the client and the server. Why would you put in the spec? Like
Because
that's like
I
an.
guess if they're thinking that everything this endpoint should need should be described in the spec for that endpoint. And so that if it's going to use it, it should be there.
What? That's
Yeah,
crazy. That's
even
a.
headers. Yeah, I know. I'm not saying I'm not
No,
defending it.
but
I'm
that.
trying to like make sense of it.
Sure, no, but headers make sense. Headers just another set of parameters, right? But that, at the end of the day, that's a contract between the client and the server. That's what it is. But implementation-wise, like because you need that request object to get a context for your request, which is like what is the URL and stuff like that. The request URI and stuff like that, right? And not, yeah, so that, but maybe that makes sense to actually stuff it in the request in the context.
Well,
Check.
that's the way I can see around it.
Yeah,
We need to get around it.
check that, Kurt, and maybe just create a ticket for that. In general, though, right? I mean, we don't want to create some node-like craziness where we just have a big hash map basically with a bunch of variables. This needs to be statically typed as much as possible. So that's why like just putting in context is usually the last resort. But maybe it's the good convention here. Let's just see.
Yeah, I mean there are conventions for using the context where you need to make sure that your access methods for getting stuff in and out are strongly typed, so you're not just like pulling stuff out of a blob.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I mean, that's like in the broker, we extended the context with typed fields. Because I specifically disliked the fact that I'll be putting some random keys in the context. I just think this is a really bad practice. But yeah, I mean, take a look at that. And that, again, that might be actually just a good sort of, deep dive into Go. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, because I had to make use of the context for the auth stuff, because I needed some place to store the role for the current session. But it's not just like it declares its own type for the values that it stores in there, and plus it has defined functions just to get it out. So it's not just like a
Yeah.
random like key value. So.
Okay. Yeah, so maybe close this. I'll just create a ticket here, actually. I'll just create one right away. What was this? This was Visual Community. Okay. All right. Any other updates, Jason?
Yeah, so I did maybe a bit of extra work yesterday. I actually finished up some stuff on the weekend there a bit, so I might head out kind of earlier this afternoon. But I do have a few other things to hack on before I go. There's a couple of minor details I found around the way. And I also was working on sort of a brief record for the entries list. So that when you, it's like right now, it's just like joining all the protocol endpoints and the addresses and everything, when it's just making a list and we don't need all that crap. So we might need to be able to make a list with all the stuff. So for export purposes and whatever else. So I was looking at implementing like a parameter like we do for ModRS, where it's just like full record equals true. And then you get the full record, otherwise you get the brief record.
So how is the brief record defined? Just like a list of fields or what?
How is the schema defined for the brief record in this case? Hello?
Well, we just have to repeat the schema. Like you have a separate schema for brief rather than full.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if you have some mandatory field, like that's kind of mandatory fields that are not part of the brief display, then I mean they cannot have the same schema.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Like you have a separate schema.
But then make it a separate endpoint. Are we gonna have an endpoint that gives you different schema if you switch a parameter?
Right. So I just have like entries and full entries.
For sure. No, don't, let's never do this. Let's never have an endpoint that gives us give different schema based on some parameters.
I don't think, I mean, it seems like if we're using the OPI, open API thing, we can't. I mean, the schema, like,
We
isn't the schema
shouldn't.
baked into the,
That would be crazy.
So does that mean when you get like a list of entries, you would have like a different endpoint for like a list of brief entries then?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I would make that the entries endpoint, and I would have the, because that's the common use case is that you get the brief records.
So th this would be different then from the whole kind of the way that we do with
I don't know, Jason, though, if it's true that it's the more common use case, because for me, the most common use, well, depends. If you're just talking about the UI,
we want
maybe.
to approach the protected entry stuff. Like, do we need like a separate schema for protected or how, I guess, is there going to be a separate endpoint to pull the protected data? Is that the direction we want to go?
Well, hold on, we're protected, but just going back to the brief versus full display, right? I mean, like if we're just talking about the UI, then maybe. But if we're talking about clients using the web service, like the broker or anything else, the most common use case is full with filters, right? So essentially full with search where you limit by symbol or symbols.
Well, if you just want one symbol, we already have a like by symbol lookup.
Well, but we shouldn't have by symbol. We should just have like the way we, I think, established this was that there would be a symbol SQL query.
Man, that's probably something I could work
Mm-hmm.
on then if we want to add like a SQL endpoint or
Yeah. I
query
think
like.
that's, yeah, that was the decision, right? That we and actually that's what the broker
And
uses.
but yeah, I mean, but the entries aren't the entries already using? Are the, like, I know the entries are already using SQL, but is that just on the, is that just internally right now, Jason? How are we
No,
using
it
the?
uses SQL to look up the entries.
But just on the but internally, it's not like it takes a SQL query from the
It does
user, right?
from the UI.
Oh, it does.
From the
Okay.
UI. The
I
UI
got
sends SQL,
you.
and
Okay, I got you.
the back end uses the SQL parser that Adam made so to generate the WHERE clause for the query that's at runtime, which is why we can't use SQL C for that.
Yeah,
Gotcha,
yeah.
gotcha. Okay.
So
All right, yeah.
that's what we're saying, right? I mean, so there is no separate by symbol endpoint. There
Well,
shouldn't
there
be.
is. There is.
Well, then remove it because we don't want it. Like, what's the purpose of that?
Because then it can use a like precompiled query, and you can also do operations. You can like post and patch and whatever else.
By symbol. But how does that work when you have multiple symbols?
Resolves to
When you
one
have,
entry. But you can't.
yeah,
Yeah,
each
it's
symbol,
by
each
one
symbol.
symbol.
Yeah, a symbol only belongs to one entry, right? So you can have more than one symbol belong to an entry, but each symbol only has one entry that it
Yeah.
belongs to.
Yeah, but what's the purpose of that? I mean, don't we want to use UUIDs to identify those entities, like internally for admin purposes? Maybe we don't. I don't know. Like, to me, that sounds a bit weird, right? I mean, that you can have multiple identifiers for the same entity.
I mean, there's also going to be a HRID, or at least there is in the mock, and there was the slug from before. It seems like there's some sort of a general use case for a human readable ID as well.
I thought that we
And
decided
so
to drop them.
we decided to drop the HRIDs?
Yeah. We discussed this, right? We said let's
No, I
drop
don't
it.
remember anything. Yeah, I didn't even implement it yet. Like, it's not even in the directory thing, but
Yeah, we need to write it down, guys. I'm almost certain we discussed it during this call, and we said why would we need it? I think I even told David to drop it from the directory file. I'm actually gonna check if it's there. I don't think it's there. No, those HRIDs is completely pointless. Like, what's the benefit of having them?
the it isn't coupled to one particular deployment.
Like, meaning how? I mean, you
It's like a
have
more of a
the.
global identifier, and it is human readable. So if everything
Sure,
gets
but.
messed up, we have like a backup. But
Yeah, but that, yeah, now I remember. We decided to drop it because we actually had the very same conversation, and for this to make any sense, we would need to have some global registry of those identifiers, which we don't have. I mean, the only global registry of identifiers that are actually maintained globally are the ISO codes, right? That's
and we already have
what
that
we
in
have.
symbol.
And we already have it. So I think we
Well, the
should
thing is, it
drop
doesn't need
them.
to be global because it's like this is ultimately a consortial level directory. And so there may be some identifier that makes sense in a consortial context.
This may be a
So
dumb
it.
question, but it does seem to me that so one of the issues with ISOs is that we probably will have entries in the directory that don't have ISOs because they are subdivisions of a library and such, right? But I thought if we have the option to just assign a symbol with another namespace than ISIL, then that does seem like it would sort of obviate the need for a separate HRID. You can always fall if you can fall back on the UUID if you really need to, if you need an absolute identifier for a thing. Yeah,
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying. Jason, but I haven't heard about the use case for separate HRID for these things.
Well, the use case in Model REST was that this was like the matching key for synchronization, because those things were pretty much one-to-one synchronized between one database and the other. But we don't need any of that because the lookup is always by ISO. Like that is the identifier that is used by the clients. And the client will be always read-only. So I think we should, well, I thought that we discussed it, but I think the way administration should go on is by using a unique local identifier, which is the UUID. That's why I'm a bit surprised that we even have those by, I mean, they don't harm anything, right? I just don't think they're necessary because it's much better if you tie the UI, the admin console over locally unique identifiers, which are proven to be locally unique, right? And nobody's really like setting them. They're
So
ensured to
one
be
example is
locally.
like the perform action feature of the update app where you scan something in and you perform an action, but that was by a request ID. So if there's just yeah some situation where you're going through and you're doing stuff and what you have is a symbol and you want to do something with that, it's
But
seems
for
useful.
the but the update app, that's multiple performing multiple operations on the requests, no?
Yeah,
Not on
it's just
the
something
direct
I missed
connects.
from UARS. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah, I don't think we should have it, Jason. I think we should drop it. As Seb says, I mean, if we really need some third party identifier, we can either append it to the symbol with different authority or even have like some custom identifiers. So, space, right? Which will just attached labels. But for us, the important thing is that you can uniquely identify it for like get, put, delete operation. And I think UUID should be used for that. At least that's the standard. And it's ensured unique, but it only needs to be unique locally. So it will be that local identifier for the installation, right? For the consortium or whatever is the, well, consortium essentially. And the communication with the client is always using the symbols, right? And actually in the broker, we are going to be almost always doing lookups by for multiple symbols, not just for one. So that's why this endpoint is not going to be useful. But it will be always generating a SQL query and it's using this opportunity to like refresh other symbols while executing rollup for a given request. So
Interesting.
yeah, so effectively it will always have a query with multiple ones. And that's the flexibility that we want, right? So we don't have to kill the server with individual requests all the time. So like some sort of batching mechanism.
Okay. So should we call? So if we want to have two endpoints, do we want the brief record on slash entries and have a slash full entries,
Well,
or
no,
other way
because
around, or
I
like
would
brief
prefer that
entries
we.
or whatever?
Yeah, in a way, it doesn't make huge difference. But if we can avoid changing the slash entries, then let's not change it because I think that's right now what's being used, although this is something that is fully configurable. But right now, the client will expect that it can send a request to slash entries with a SQL, which contains symbol list of symbols. And then, of course, the return stuff needs to be the detailed view. Well, the entities. So I think I would put the brief on a separate endpoint, yes. Because effectively, this is going to only be the UI going to use it for your like list view. Make sense? Okay. Should write it down somewhere. So is this relevant for this? For the stack of pagination for entries?
No, but I mean that'll use the brief
Kinda.
endpoint for that list, but that tickets I've done
Okay.
that.
Let's just put some notes here. My keyboard starts working.
Yeah, it would be a new ticket.
We discussed that brief entries should be under the
So how do we
endpoint.
see protected entries working? Do we need like a separate endpoint to access protected data for a given entry for your consortia?
And beyond the API level, I think it's interesting to think about how does this work on the database level? Because both what are protected entries and also things that are sort of used as settings that should be surfaced in the settings UI, we almost need a way to like tag those columns to distinguish which parts of the entry are to be considered as sensitive and which parts are to be considered as settings. I don't know that Postgres really has a way to tag columns. So maybe it does make sense to have just like parallel tables to group them that way. So yeah, not just a separate endpoint for the secrets, but actually a separate table, potentially.
I mean, I think before we had talked about using the same endpoint, but just have like some kind of dummy value in there for the protected entries if they're not.
Sorry, Kurt, you're breaking up. Either that or my connection's going.
Yeah, no. Kurt is breaking up. Why aren't this finding you, Jason? Not with this. Okay. I'll just leave the note here, right? And I don't know if you're gonna be creating a separate ticket for this. You
I
should
think it needs
probably.
a separate ticket
Yeah,
for the.
then just make one and close this one before you go, because this was just regarding pagination, right? And then we created
Okay.
this request context. Okay. I'm sorry, guys. What was the like we lost Kurt at some point, but what was the question, Kurt?
Can you guys hear me now?
Yes.
Yep, I can hear you now.
Yeah. So I guess I was saying that I guess I was just asking for clarity on how we wanted to implement the protected stuff, like because I guess we had talked before about somehow just putting some kind of placeholder in for the fields that were protected if someone didn't have permission to see them, you know, and in which case we'd be using the same schema. But if we want a separate schema or separate tables for the protected stuff, you know, we can obviously do that as well, but I guess it'd just be good to know how we want to do it going forward, because that's going to change how the auth stuff works.
Didn't we actually document that in your documents? Because I feel like
I
we've
mean,
been talking about this too. Like, I think we had at least two
we
options for this.
documented which roles can see protected information. We never talked about the actual shape of what information was protected or how that was going to be returned.
Well, we did talk a little bit about how at the API level, like when we were just trying to decide, I remember we had a discussion, we were trying to decide whether this is something that we'd be able to do at the endpoint level using or copies per endpoint authorization.
Right.
And we realized that when the broker would need to get information from multiple symbols, it might need yeah, I might need the ENSIP credentials for multiple symbols, that kind of thing. And so the directory would have to do authorization in that case anyways.
Yeah.
I remember that aspect, but I don't know that we like.
Just to be clear, we want to control whether the field is protected on the field type basis, not field, not a specific instance of a field. So, in other words, we don't want to be like setting stuff like we don't need any row level metadata in Postgres. But we could have a table that controls which fields, like lists, or some other configuration file, basically, which controls which fields are protected. Or we have a section where we group the protected files. Although I think we dislike that solution because we felt like it might makes more sense to break the schema down into logical sections, not so much by sections which are private versus which are protected versus open. I think that was the conclusion,
So,
wasn't it?
yeah, where would that meta information live? So I guess I'm not clear on that.
Well, that's something that needs to be defined, right? I mean, either a configuration file that you feed to the service, or yeah, some endpoint where you control which fields are protected. Well, we need to specify it somehow. Maybe it's best if it's an external file that we can load up because it's going to be pretty much just something we keep on adding to. Unless you can, is there some metadata that you can specify in the schema, in the JSON schema, like in the open API?
Well, that's more likely than Postgres and
Well,
also a better
Postgres
place
is
for it.
completely a red herring here, in my opinion,
Yeah,
right?
just an
Because,
implementation detail. I know. Yeah, that might be possible. And that hopefully that is possible. And hopefully we can use something like that for the settings as well.
So what I'm
I
hearing
wonder if
then is
there's.
that it would be the same endpoint regardless, but we would have hopefully some kind of metadata in the schema that would tell us whether or not a field is protected or not. And then if it is protected and the current role doesn't have access to get it, then it would just be sanitized out of the resulting data that comes back, right?
Take a look, let's just not try to reinvent the wheel if there is something already for that, right? I mean, there is some annotations here that we can put on the fields and JSON schema, but it's pretty slim. It's deprecated, read-only, write-only. I don't think there's anything in here that would help what we need. It'd be nice if we could put custom annotations.
I
Who's
mean,
going to be looking
it
into
could
that?
just be an
Is
external
it Dukert?
config file. Say again?
Yeah, and of course we can always do an external config file, but it's kind of nice if we could just put it as some sort of annotation in the schema, right? So,
I mean, I could take a look at it and see if I can find anything that's sane.
And if not, then I mean, convenience is the most important. Do we ever imagine that there will be a scenario where we want to have different fields to be protected between different installations?
That sounds kind of fiddly to me. It seems like, I don't
Yeah,
know, it
that
seems
sounds
like.
kind of insane, right? I mean, like
Yeah, let's not
we
do
should actively,
that.
exactly, we should actively prevent that. That's just madness. So if we can put it on the schema level, that would be nice. So maybe check, like, if there's not no like annotations that we could custom annotations that we could put in there, maybe we could just like add our own field, in the schema that says hidden or protected, yes or no. I mean, maybe it's even nice to have access to it from codes, where the on the other, yeah, it will need to be a read-only field, of course. But it still doesn't solve the problem because we need to have an annotation. Well, okay. Let's try to see if there's anything like on like any custom annotations we can do. And if not, is there some sort of section in the schema where we could just put those like a list, maybe outside of
So
the entity schema
I
itself?
asked ChatGPT, and apparently there's a format password that you can use
Oh, format password? What is that?
to signal that a UI should show stars instead of showing the characters.
Oh, format passwords. Interesting.
So
But
we could kind of use that as our tag.
is that usable on fields that are not just like a single text field?
Yeah, I don't know if that has to only be on type of string, but and there is actually an extensibility mechanism. You can create custom fields just by putting X dash whatever. So we can just go like
Okay.
X dash protected or X dash sensitive, whatever you want to call it.
That would be ideal if we can just do
Oh
that.
yeah, that would
That
be
would be
nice.
awesome.
Yeah, and
Yeah, just do
that's
that.
kind of, that yeah. So, but how do you put them? Do you put them like you mean okay. Like in here, you just put them X dash protected.
Yeah, exactly. Like type object X dash protected.
Nice.
For
Okay.
example, yeah. Or X dash literally whatever. You can just it's extensible.
Right,
I guess
and
it's a
so the only
question. We have
question,
to
whether
make
it's
sure
like,
that it's supported by
whether,
the open API we're using, right?
yeah, check if there's no, because sometimes like on top of the JSON schema, those other standards kind of are building some additional stuff on top of it, right? So maybe see if there is no like conventional X dash whatever to control visibility or whatever. You know what I mean? Because it's like with X HTTP headers, right? I mean, some X dash headers are pretty much standards by now. So maybe there is already something that we should use. And if not, yeah, that sounds good. I mean, then we just need to answer whether it's like a Boolean switch or it's like a visibility level. Remind me, what did we really need to document this, guys, in this document that Kurt started. So Kurt, please update it, okay? As
Yeah,
we
once I'm off the call,
dissolve
I'll
this.
go and add this stuff.
And then the only question is, do we need any like more than just two levels? No, right? We said that it's either protected or not.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, let's start
That's pretty
simple.
good.
Let's just make it a Boolean. Okay. All right, let's do this. Nice. And that would be which ticket, Kurtz? One of the auth and z layer in the directory.
Yeah, I think we can include the protected stuff in that under that umbrella. Yeah.
Okay. And other than that, how's this coming along, Kurt?
It's fine, right? Just I have a few more tweaks I needed to make, just for little fixes. But it's just about at the point to where Jason and I discussed. At least that stuff is working. So I was gonna just get that finished, but then of course I want to change a few things around. Especially if we change, with this whole protected stuff. I need to work on the schema stuff there, and also, if the endpoints change, that's going to change some of the tests. But otherwise, it's in good shape.
Awesome. That's nice to hear. Sorry, Jason, I skipped one of the tickets you put in the review, or in code review, this initial prototype of new directory UI.
Yeah,
Is this
gave
a new
Kurt a bit of
repo?
information there. Yeah, it's got its own repo. I call it UIRS dir.
Could you like maybe put some links to it here?
That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, thank you. Okay,
But
so
I started with Kurt, and
yeah.
he was going to take a stab at running it.
Yeah, I still have to do that, but I was planning to hope to try it, give it a shot today, see if I can get it running.
Okay. Guys, it's really nice to see this coming along. We should start thinking about the dev environments because I really think we need to aim for having good test coverage and kind of like a continuous integration thing going early on from the start. So Ian, I don't know if this is something you could look into. It should probably be in a new
Sure.
namespace on the dev cluster.
Okay.
I'll create a ticket for that.
A new namespace and yeah, interesting. Okay, yeah, let's create a ticket for it. We can discuss.
Yeah, and I can remember, I think we do a chart for this directory thing. We should make a chart for this. I can't remember if we did. No, we did one for this mod DMS with like a simple chart. I'll create a ticket for that. Let's see if maybe one of the either Kurt or Jason can actually get this done just to get a handle of it. And then for the UI stuff, how do you guys want to do this? Like for the UI deployments? We don't really have any standard tools for this, no? This will need to be like we would need to set up the whole platform and stuff. Like we always do.
Well, I
Actually,
was developing it.
so
I just bypassed it and basically mocked enough crap that Stripes would start, and just had it I just had Nginx proxying onto the running directory locally. So I basically skipped a copy for this so far.
Maybe that's nice. I mean, we just need to have like avoid all this craziness that we always have with running stuff locally and remotely and just making it hard for ourselves when it's completely different. Okay,
Because
but
in the case of the directory, it doesn't need to hit the other copy services, so it seemed like a good one to run in isolation. But then I gave a place to pass it what you want for the values for the permissions and the tenant, so that we can play with the auth stuff. But it's not the same as running it with actual copy.
okay, we'll need to talk about this a little bit. No, it's called by Rock Church, right? What did you call it? UI what? UI what? UI
R Esther.
directory? RS directory?
Dir.
DIR.
Like DIR like directory. I linked it on the issue now.
Okay. Okay, so for now, let's just consider this a draft, right, Ian? We'll need to talk about this a little bit. And I'll pre-assign that to you, but I'm not saying that you need to do all of it. Maybe most of it will be, okay, this is how the application should be packaged, and then developers do it, and then we just put some GitHub Actions in place. Think about this a little bit.
Would be nice to have some understanding about Helm charts at some point, because I still haven't the slightest clue what those are.
Yeah, it's trivial. I'm sure if you guys, that's why I'm thinking that maybe you guys should do the Helm chart for directory, for this directory-ish, whatever. But just think those names. Can we fix those names? Like, do we want the thing to be called directory-ish?
No, that's intentionally because I didn't want to choose what the name was, because like
No, I
I
get
couldn't
that,
call
but
it mod
if we don't
directory
change,
because there was a mod
sure.
directory. And
If we don't change it now, then it's gonna be harder to change it later. Once we start putting it in Helm charts and, it's gonna be a mess. I don't know.
you want to call it
So,
RS dir, like reshare directory? Because we had mod
RS.
RS.
No, probably not, because like we even tried to change the name. I mean, like, yeah. So I don't know. Seb, do you have any preferences for like calling this? Or yeah, let's not spend time on it now. If you have, maybe just tell us and we'll call it this way and avoid discussion about the naming.
Yeah.
You talk about the name of the software?
Yeah.
No. I mean, it's a good question, but yeah, no, I hadn't thought that far. I just thought of it as the directory.
We could just make the part of the name, mod the
The band.
maybe just ILL directory. I don't know. Maybe it's not
Oh,
just
yeah. If we could avoid
or
locking it into ILL, there's maybe something there to be found.
consortial directory or CDIR for short, like the tree.
Cedar.
Okay. You
Dude.
guys have fun on the channel and let's make a poll.
Oh,
Let's make a naming poll. Okay. Good. So we've got this. Yeah, okay. So yeah, please add those links just so we can actually find the thing and then we will need
did.
to. Oh, you did? Perfect. Awesome. Thank you, Jason. Okay, good. Yeah, over to Kurt. Kurt, okay, so I think we know what you're working on. What about the XML exceptions?
Yeah, I need to just go and I need to I need, what I need to do, I need to write an integration test that will run Jasper against the failing requests and see if I can isolate the problem. So I think Mallory had pulled the JR XML for me, so I just need to go ahead and proceed with that.
Okay. All right. But you, okay, it's moving. Okay. Thank you. All right. I'm sorry, Mallory. We're kind of over time, but it was nice just to kind of chat a little bit since we haven't had a chance to do it last week. Do you want to talk about those tickets here or anything specific?
Yeah, do you mind if I snag the screen share from you?
Of
Just
course.
this should not hopefully be too painful for anyone, but let me see if I have the right thing. First, this is a ticket that had previously, it's been like back and forth between David and Jason. And Tara just asked if this could actually be assigned to you after Jason, or I'm sorry, after David did his piece. And so I did assign it to you, Jason, but obviously you're going to be out. And I didn't know if there was anything that Kurt could take over from you from on this, or if it has to wait until you return. There's also another ZFL ticket that Tara just raised with me that she was hoping we could also tag in at some point soon. So I don't know, Kurt, if that's going to be something that you're able to look at and or take this one off of Jason's plate since he's going to be out. Did we lose Jason?
I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
Sorry.
I have no particular attachment to this. If it needs to be done in the next 2 weeks, I think probably better than if Kurt does it, because I'd rather not try to do it in my laptop.
Right. Okay.
I
I will
have
try
no
to find out if
particular
it's like,
memory of it, so.
okay. So Kurt, I'll probably just check in with you and see like what your capacity is like after Thanksgiving and stuff. I know that we just spent like an hour talking about how you're doing all this other stuff, so I know it's not ideal, but I just want to. I think Tara said there's like two or three things that if we can wrap up, we can kind of call ZFL in a decent spot. So that's where this is coming from.
Like it looks like
Cool.
there was apparently some previous ticket or some attempt. Like there's like a feature flag for doing this. So if there were other tickets associated with this, the commits to do that work might be tagged. So that could maybe help you find at least what was attempted in the past.
But what do you mean? Do you assume that this has been done in the past, but not
Or
cherry-picked into the program
typically
branch?
done. Well, even the
I think we lost Kurt
okay.
again, or maybe it was just me.
Yeah, no, that was garbled for me too.
So apparently there was a maybe Jason, why don't you look at it today, okay, before you go on vacation, and yeah, leave some notes. I think it's gonna be easier for dragging Kurt into this.
Well, I don't know that I can do it today, but I can try to find some
No, don't do
information.
well. Well, you do it if you can. We don't control that, right? But just take a look at this and leave some notes.
Okay, I
I
will.
understand if there is a feature flag that just doesn't work or it doesn't work sometimes.
Yeah,
That's what this
I
ticket
have
seems to
no idea.
indicate. Well, that's what this ticket seems to indicate, that there is a feature flag. They use it, but occasionally it doesn't work. Like the chat icons sh gets shown anyway after switching the request to whatever. Yeah.
I'll look into it.
Thank you.
And the other thing I just want to run by you all is we're having a meeting with Flow later. They have like a wish list for Folio Reshare and ViewFind that we're going to be discussing with them. But I just wanted to check in on a few of these that are Reshare specific. This first one, I need more information from them. And we also, maybe they just want to know what the unfilled reason is. So we've just done that for Trove. But the second one on the list, and you probably can't really see this, is request item support for Folio. I looked and it looks like Yanis did this work for ZFL release 118.
That's right.
But so it's, I assume that like the next time that we get have a general reshare update, Flow will get this support. Like we don't need to do any additional development for it, right?
The support is actually in Folio, not in Reshare, because this is the request item message support for Folio, right? So depending on what Folio version that you run, I think it's this should be available for. I don't know. Do you remember Ian? Is Ian still here? I had to drop. Oh, he's still
Yeah,
here.
I'm here.
Do you remember where is that? Is it Casnelia or something? Or no,
Was
even
it, or you know, Ramsons, right?
Ramses, maybe. Well, it was done, I think it was done initially already for, because we didn't have to.
Oh, I see. And so
Yeah,
which
I think
version
it
the
was
NSIP
already for
change went
Casnelia.
into?
Yeah, but because I think we didn't have to fork it for the for ZFL, but and ZFL went online with Casnelia, I think. Yes, because Jason was doing the Ramsons migration. Yeah, so I think it should be already available in Casnelia. This
Okay.
thing, this request item.
Yeah.
Okay, so it might just be like depending on what version of Folio they are on, and it should be in place. Is that right?
That's right. That's in the on the folio end, right? That's folio supporting, but they want to make use of it also from ReShare, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know whether that was ever used in that default state model. Maybe it was. Kurt, do you know? Kurt has probably some voice problems. So yeah, because it's one thing is that it's available in the folio. The other thing is whether ReShare actually supports it. And ZFL is a different state model, right? So not everything immediately translates into the stock ReShare state model. So that would have to be checked. I don't know, top of my head. Like, I don't know if we ever use this in regular ReShare.
Well, I don't think so because I think this was added for this says release 118 and
Yeah,
nobody
there you
has
go.
that.
There you go.
So,
Yeah.
but they could hypothetically we would test this and it would be included in a future release of ReShare.
Yeah, that's right. So they need ReShare 118 and Folio Casnolia minimum.
Right, but we haven't upgraded anyone to 118 except for ZFL, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But I guess if they want to push on that, we can figure that out.
And we can try to see. Yeah.
Yeah. This other one is it's kind of tricky. They want to be able to, as a requester, receive an item even though the supplier never shipped the item. And that sounds a little like that bypass sounds like a little risky to me, just in terms of getting things out of sync between requester and supplier, because then if the when the requester returns the item back to the supplier,
Yeah.
yeah, it, like I just I'm not sure how we feel about giving the other partner control over the state of the request. It sounds a little bit to me like maybe Flow should communicate with their libraries to
Could
do the workflow properly, but
it be paired, Mallory? Could it be paired with a message that if the receiving library sends a received message? I wonder, this Jakob, it seems pretty clear that one of the differences between ReShare and Alma, my impression is that it's a little bit more open-ended in terms of what transitions it will accept. I mean, one option could be that we could allow a library to declare something as received even if it hasn't been spent, and it would even if it hasn't been sent, right? And that would allow for just catching up the workflow, even if the sending library forgot to mark it as such. And so if we just allowed in the state model that the sender could receive a received message, even if this library hadn't sent something, maybe we'd be a little less brittle.
Yeah, I mean, we I don't know what the research is gonna do about this. I mean, we would need to see. Like receiving a message, a received message when the state is not.
I imagine that unless we change the state model to allow for it, then the supplying library would get pissed if the requester said, "Oh yeah, I've received it. Great."
There's a lot of sort of fragility in that state model handling. We've seen this in the past, so we will need to check. But yeah, sepsis probably will need to update the state model to handle this. Like my two cents about this, just kind of on the side. I mean, if we let them do it, then it should be like this action should somehow stand out, or maybe there should be,
I like that.
like a,
Just thinking the
yeah.
same. Like, if it is somehow highlighted that this is like an emergency, or that this is, this creates the risk that if you do it by mistake, it could be difficult then for the supplying library to later go and mark it as shipped, right? Because
Yeah.
if
Yeah.
it's already been received, then surely it's difficult for them to mark it shipped. So it seems like it solves one problem, but it does. introduce the opportunity for other problems if it is misused,
For
amusement.
sure. It definitely shouldn't be just like an action that is available right there and
So you
you
can
can
have
keep
a
going.
big warning, right? Only use this if you've actually received the material.
Exactly. Or yeah, or if you can ask the library to actually flip it, you know, because it would be
About
still much better that they actually tell the library, hey, we got your material, but you never marked it ship. Why don't you do it now so I can resell it legally? Because
But
at
it does
least
feel to me like it should be paired with a message being sent, and so we really ought to extend the state model and to allow for this.
yeah, for sure. But I'm just saying that another approach like would be that they just message them saying, hey, you know, I got a package from you. Like I got this item from you, but it's you never marked it as ship. Maybe you should do it.
Could you please mark a ship? Yeah, that's a good point. It would be interesting to understand exactly why they're asking for it.
Well, it's
Is
because
that
they don't want to reach out to the lending supply library, apparently.
they don't want to.
Yeah.
Bunch of introverts.
But why is the lending library making that mistake? Is it because like their process is different and we just didn't account for that process? Like, or is it just a simple omission? Or do you know why it happens in the first place?
No, this is all I have on it. But I part of today is to also be like, you know, we need more information if it's not clear. So I can just try to get more of a read on this.
Valerie, one thing worth checking would be if, since given that we have the specific request ID, I wonder if there's a situation here where the supplying library actually did market shipped, but reshare screwed up somehow. Like, what if it might be just worth taking a look and making sure that if we have access to that request and make sure that in fact it wasn't. If they marked it shipped on the supply side and something broke on the in the transmission, then we have another then we have a bigger issue, right?
Yeah, especially that I think until a couple of months ago before Jason added. Like Risha was not even looking at the confirmation message. You know, it was
It's
just like
more common that they got out of sync in different ways.
exactly. So like it could very well be the case, right? That we, I mean, then it would still maybe make sense to add this setting under some sort of danger zone section,
Yep.
just for them to fix it up on their own, right? Because it went out of sync because the software is crappy, basically.
Well, and the more that they can self-service getting out of sticky situations without having our DevOps people involved in changing database state, like the lower our maintenance costs and service costs will be. But it would actually be really nice to understand if there was an error in the transmission, or if it was a single work, or if it was a workflow error on the part of the supplying library.
Yeah, I'll do some investigation before I check in with them, and try to figure that out to see if it was just an error.
Do you
Yeah,
guys,
okay.
Jason, Kurt, do you guys know, because I, Jason, you did change it so that it is actually looking at the confirmation status after sending notifications, but was it just for notifications or was it like for any message?
I cannot remember.
Okay. And do you know
But
if like generally is it going to try to validate the confirm like the you know the confirmation, or is it just ignoring it or like any action?
yeah, no idea. I
Yeah.
haven't done a lot of
Well,
upgrades. Unfortunately,
in a few months now.
it's been so long since I've looked at that part. I kind of have like a general idea of messing with that stuff, but I cannot remember any details of
It would be so amazing if it just ignored it, right? And the software somehow works, you know, with
it.
the flaky
No, it's
network.
very likely. Very likely.
Very likely, yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're referring to. Like we were adding something with the notifications, and it turned out to be just like totally dropping that part.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, and just one more quick one, which I think is kind of similar-ish, is just that they want to be able to have a more granular state for instead of just staying in local circulation, they want to it to be obvious whether the patron actually picked it up. and checked it out. But I guess my question is, like, wouldn't Folio have to send some sort of message to reshare to change the state to indicate that?
It would, and that's the hard part, usually, getting some notifications out of ILS. I don't think any ILS supports like messaging with ANSIP. We could add it to Folio, but it would be a development. I mean, ANSIP actually has notification services. Where you can subscribe for some updates like that. But it would be a big development, I think. Well, maybe not big, but it's not a small development. It's not like
And
a
it would
double
be,
case.
yeah, and it would be on both sides. It'd be on Folio side
What?
and reshare side, right?
Yeah,
Oh, I see.
exactly.
Yeah, not the supplier side though, just still the requester side.
Yeah. This is
So,
on the this
yeah.
is this is for the this is for the requester, right? Yeah, I just
Yeah. The
wanna.
supplier should not have that information. It is not concerned with the patron.
No.
Right.
Exactly. So it's like they just wanna avoid checking into reshare where the patron has already checked the item in, right? It should be just automatic, which is kind of nice, I guess.
Okie dokie. I think that's all I had
I mean, it
to.
would be kind of cool to do this, to be honest. I mean, if we could get some financing for adding stuff like that, I think Folio would probably be the only ILS that implements those notification services, mindset. So it would be kind of cool, but yeah.
Okay. I mean, if they want to fund it, I think they're going to let their users vote on this stuff. And then, like, I don't know, determine funding after that. So this is all like a little ways off, but this is the first step. I guess
That
we're
does
really
seem like a
close
good.
to. Go ahead.
I would say it does seem like a good thing for Folio in general to have that to be the first one for that, because it is aiming to be the kind of user serviceable parts inside hackable ILS for institutions that like to tinker with stuff, right? So presumably they might have other projects that would benefit from being able to receive these NSIP notifications.
Well, yeah, but again, the question is how broadly is the support? And my guess is that nobody supports that. I mean, you would have
Well,
a
that's what I'm saying.
press
But
check.
if you start doing it with Folio, that opens the door for at least Folio institutions to be able to play with it, and that gets it into people's imagination. They start asking for it.
No, that's true. That's true. I mean, guys like the ZFL guys or anybody else actually who uses Folio with Reshare would be happy about that, right? Because it means less manual steps.
Wow.
All right.
Oh, all right. Thank you. I guess we'll see you all in a few minutes at the team meeting, unless that has
Think I talk
changed.
in 7 minutes.
All
Okay.
right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, so.
I mean, I think the only.